My name's Ann Jimerson. I was born in Massachusetts in Newton Wellesley Hospital, but we moved around a lot when I was a kid. We went from New England to Virginia, and then from 61 to 64, we lived in Birmingham, Alabama, where my dad was a civil rights worker. Norman C. Jimerson, Jim Jimerson, was the executive director of a statewide organization called the Alabama Council on Human Relations. It's a group that was working to bring whites and blacks together to keep lines of communication open during the civil rights years. Well, I was 10 when we moved to Birmingham, and I was 13 when we left in 1964. In the mid-50s, when we moved from Massachusetts to Virginia, we were quite aware that we had made a big cultural shift. So we were, of course, in segregated schools while we were in Hopewell, Virginia. And then Dad got involved with civil rights work in Petersburg, Virginia. He was part of a ministerial association there and began hearing about this job opening in Alabama and spent 6 good months trying to make up his mind whether or not we should move to Alabama. And the whole family was involved, even though I was only 9 or 10 at the time. We were earnest little kids, and the story goes that when that Dad won me over first when we were in Virginia. And I said, "Daddy, if it's that bad, we have to go." My parents went down to buy a house in Birmingham and put an offer in on one and learned that the guys backed out of the deal when they found out what kind of work my dad was going to do. So from the moment we set foot in Alabama, we knew we were on dangerous territory. In fact, just a week or two after my dad accepted the position, after deliberating for all those months, was when the first Freedom Riders were, the bus was burned in Anniston, Alabama, and another bus was greeted in Birmingham, and the Freedom Riders were beaten. And that was before we had even arrived on the scene. My older brother Rand was 12 when we moved to Birmingham. Well, he was pretty nervous about it. Mainly, he had had the experience in moving to Virginia and having always feeling like an outsider because people called us Yankees. So he was very careful when we moved to Alabama to introduce himself to our next door neighbor with a southern drawl as the best he could whip up. And then the kid said, "Well, where are you from?" And he said, "Virginia." And the kid said, "Oh, y'all's Yankees then." So right from the beginning, we got off on the wrong foot, but he was really trying to fit in. And that was a big goal of ours, was to not rock the boat, to be quiet. Our parents had really trained us not to say controversial things at school and to kind of keep a low profile. I know that our middle brother, Paul, overheard his teachers whispering about the fact that our family was a communist family. My brother, Rand, the oldest, he felt that his grades were affected by people's knowledge of Dad's work. I can remember walking over the sidewalk at my junior high school over the words, "No niggers," for our school. Our next door neighbors were somebody that I babysat for. I got my first paid babysitting job when I was 11, and I was very excited to babysit for this little toddler next door. And then within a couple of months, they moved out because they decided we were communists and we might sell the house to African Americans. When Martin Luther King's SCLC came to town and the Birmingham campaign really began in earnest, our dad was in and out of town around the state and keeping up with things and called in for a lot of negotiations and trying to get people to sit down at the table together. I was unaware of how much violence there was during the summer of 63, but then that fall, of course, we learned about the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church, and it was a shocking time for all of us. We were devastated. We had gone to New Hampshire for the summer. Dad had a summer position for a month, and we went back home, started up school. I don't think I was even aware that a few of the Birmingham schools had been integrated that year, and I'm sure that's why the church was bombed at that time. But it was just a few weeks after the March on Washington, and it seemed like things were coming together, and instead this tragedy happened. Our parents got very involved with they were involved in all the funerals. We didn't go to any of that, but our parents did. They went to each of the funerals. My dad visited the homes of not only the four girls who were killed in the bombing, but two African-American youth were shot that afternoon in separate incidents. For a lot of us who were kids then, it was so shocking to think that it had moved to the children. I'll speak for myself. I probably felt insulated from it because of being white. Even though we knew we were at risk and we worried for our dad, and we got threatening phone calls at the house, I think I probably didn't feel as closely vulnerable because I was white. Our dad, the afternoon of the bombing, from what he told us, he right after he heard about the bombing, he got on the phone and tried telephoning a number of the white pastors in town, trying to get people to rally and have some kind of response, and nobody would come out. So he and my mother ended up going over to the Drew's house. I think it's John and Deanie Drew were business people in town, African-Americans, and Dad and Mom went over there. They left us home alone, and Deanie was out of town, but my mom served coffee to the people who came through, so many from the African-American community came through John's house that afternoon, and my parents were there. Then Dad drove down to the church itself. He just wanted to witness what was going on and saw broken glass all over the street and picked up a lot of it. So we had a box full of shards of glass, stained glass from the church windows that we kept as a family memento and a reminder of what the fight for social justice takes. About 10 years ago, my brother, because he's an archivist, convinced us to donate most of that glass to the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, but we kept one piece that our mother had always used when she gave talks about our time in Birmingham. And we've just been in touch with the new National Museum of African American History and Culture that's going to open up as part of the Smithsonian, and we'll be donating that last rosette of glass to them. A year later, just after we had moved away from Birmingham, they rededicated the church when they reopened it after it was damaged. And Dad was on the podium. He was invited to be part of the service of rededication. Our dad had been trying for about a year to get a job out of Alabama. It was just way too stressful on the family and on him. And once he got the job, we left within a couple of weeks and moved to Michigan in time for the school year to start there in 1964. I know that my dad felt torn. I think he felt like had he not been father to five kids and responsible for a wife and family, that he might have stayed on. And I think he felt a bit like he had abandoned things. But also, I think he knew that he needed to get out.